We have been studying one of the greatest scriptures of the world, which presents before us the real purpose or goal of human life and the practical way to attain to it. We saw that the current topic in this discussion was practicality. In earlier verses, in last 38-39 verses, Lord Krishna had told Arjuna the ideal. And now comes the question of actualizing or practicalizing our ultimate goal. Sometimes the goal becomes so big in our mental horizon that we lose the sight that we actually have to go there. We actually have to attain to it. Swami Vivekananda, in one of his very beautiful and very inspiring lecture titled The Secret of Work, Work and Its Secret, has brought out this point that howsoever big the ideal is, one has to pay equal attention to the means as to the goal, because our attainment of goal depends on our following the right means. When we fail in attaining the goal, it is a common tendency in all of us to blame others for our failures. We feel that my neighbor created problems for me, or my family didn't give me enough support, or the society isn't right for all such things. We have to change the society. Or the government is bad and we have to change the government. And all such things. It is very easy to lay blame on everybody else but the real culprit, who is I myself. If I look into what I did, then I find that I did not handle the means properly. I forgot that exact, proper and powerful means will bring me the goal. And if I make those means correct, the goal has to be there. If the means are there, the goal has to be there. If means are faulty, defective, then obviously you may imagine big, big things in your mind, the goal will be far away. This is called yoga. That yoga is has many peculiar different meanings here. That it is some physical postures or some exercises, or some people, these products are there these days, yogi tea or some whatever. If I drink that yogi tea, then it is practicing yoga. This is not the real meaning of yoga. Yoga is converting this theory into practical experience. Having the driving directions is one thing. Actually driving and getting there, that is yoga. Having the driving directions is what Sri Krishna tells Sankhya. In 39th chapter, 39th verse of the second chapter, we saw he uses these two very significant words, Sankhya and Yoga. He says that I have explained to you this truth as an intellectual concept. as an ideal. Now I will explain you this very thing as a technology, how to experience this in our day-to-day life. That is what is important, friends. Both these things are required. To have the recipe is important, and then cook according to that recipe and eat, that is also equally important. If you don't have one of these, then both are useless. That you have to have a combination of both these, the right ideal concept and the practical way to experience this. So he is now telling that listen to this practical science, and this practical science, because this is based on the ultimate truth. When you are practicing it, it is not going to be a bad investment. He clarified this matter because we are many times afraid in following religious life, spiritual life, putting efforts in it, thinking that, well, this is for some people who want to realize high ideal. We are ordinary people. We can't make that kind of efforts. Our life is fraught with so many problems. Swami, it is all right for you people. I say, you have nothing else to do. I have to take care of my family. I have to go to work right from the morning till evening. So many problems in life. What do you know about them? I cannot put in all those efforts like you do. They assume that I do. It is may not be, but it is. Point is that it is I cannot do. And if I don't do it fully, then whatever little I do will not have any value whatever, is it not? It will be a waste. It is, if I start digging for getting water, and I did not, it is told that you will get water if you dig 30 feet. And if I dig only 10 feet and stop, then what is the use of it? I spoiled the good ground also thereby. It is I didn't get the water. So what will happen if I did put in the efforts in spiritual life and did not make it to the end? What will happen to the efforts that I put in? Will they be all in vain? Shri Krishna understands our fears. You know, a great psychologist that he is, he immediately has guessed that Arjuna must be feeling, what if I start doing but did not, if I don't reach, if I don't make it, what will happen? So he says, this is such a practice that whatever you go do, that much benefit you will get. It is not the whole or nothing. It is whatever you put in, not a single effort is wasted in this endeavor. Whatever you do will bring that much result in life. Your investment, your efforts, your mental and physical this efforts in attaining this will not be wasted. Neha bhikramanashosti. There is no destruction of what is the efforts you have put in. And pratyavayo na vidyate. No side effects. Bad side effects, I mean. No bad side effects of this either. Because we are worried about that also. If I start doing spiritual practice and if I get headache, many people have these funny ideas. All other things that they do in the world, that is as if that is not causing headache. But if they start thinking about God, if first thing, if I get headache thereby, it is so. Shri Krishna tells, pratyavayo na vidyate. There is no bad side effect of this either. It is something that you are marching towards goal. So the more you go towards it, the more your goal will start manifesting in your life. And this is something that you, each of us friends, will be able to experience in our own life. That what is our goal? That everybody knows it. That and Vedanta spells it out at more than one place. That our goal is to completely get over all the sufferings. It is a common goal of all of us. Who wants suffering? Nobody wants sufferings. We all want to get rid of all sufferings. Trivedi, is it not? You don't want to get rid of sufferings. Then say loudly, yes, I want to get rid of suffering. Why you are hesitating about that? We want to get rid of all sufferings and get the maximum infinite happiness. This is the goal of life. And this is the way to get it. Yoga is the way to get it. And the more one practices, one starts feeling it. That is something that one can actually verify in our life. If you see somebody is practicing yoga and has that kind of a dyspeptic moroseness on face, then know that he is not practicing yoga. In the name of yoga, the fellow is practicing something else. It is, if you are practicing yoga properly, you will be going closer to the goal. And as you are going to closer to the goal, you will see that happiness manifesting in your life. Because the source of happiness, friends, is not any object in the world. Any achievement in the world is not going to bring us happiness. I don't mean to say that we shouldn't achieve those things. But let us remember, because those things do not contain intrinsically any happiness, they are not going to bring us happiness either. All happiness is within us. And so, when we come to our real nature, more and more happiness will automatically start manifesting in our life. And that happiness is qualitatively different from the pleasure that we get in the world, say, by listening to music or by eating a candy, whatever other things. Those pleasures depend on external situations, whether I get this or I don't get this. But this is just dependent on you. It is, suppose your pleasure is in the candy. Even if suppose that candy is capable of giving you pleasure, which it is not, but suppose it is in the candy, then it is you have no power over it. You have to get candy, then you will get the pleasure. So your pleasure is mortgaged to that silly candy, you say. What this yoga teaches is that even if you practice a little bit of it, svalpam api asya dharmasya, see the words, it is so powerful, each word is packed with such tremendous meaning. That is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita, that every word is so significant, packed with such meaning, that svalpam api, even if a little bit, if you practice, you will get the returns of that little bit. And what is that? Trayate mahato bhayat. Your life will become fearless thereby. And then Sri Krishna proceeds. We discussed what is meaning of fearlessness. And first important feature of this yoga, he is telling now, that we should have a professional business-like attitude. Spiritual life is life of determination. When you want to achieve something in life, then you focus all your energies on that. Professional, like the professional receptionist in a workplace. Let us think of that. Just to get an idea of what Sri Krishna is telling. That word is very nice. Vyavasayatmika. Vyavasaya is like a profession. It is the business-like attitude. Vyavasaya. It is, take example of, say, a receptionist sitting on the counter, welcoming people, answering people, so now she keeps a smiling face. She has to keep a smiling face as a requirement of the profession. She may have a problem at home, possible. She may have an aching knee. She may have headache. But when she thinks of her profession, she keeps all those things aside. And whosoever comes, smiles at them and asks what they want, what can I do for you? And smilingly says, have a nice day and something like that. Maybe inside she may be feeling different, but as a professional, she concentrates on doing her job by keeping all other things aside for that matter. So, what is required for a practitioner of yoga is to integrate all our efforts, put all our energies towards going to the goal. Integration of personality is very important for practice of yoga. That we have different faculties, our emotions, our intellect, our physical abilities, they keep on dragging us in all different directions. Yoga, therefore, doesn't become possible. The person who wants to practice yoga, therefore, has to have this one-pointed focus and determination in life. That you make take strong decisions and follow them. A determined life is required for that. These resolutions, if they cannot be properly made, then spiritual life, this is a big, long journey that you have to undertake. So if one is not determined, then you will follow, go for 10 steps and will have doubts and then come back. That is not going to take us to the ultimate goal of life. So, Shri Krishna tells, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bahushakhayanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. That yoga requires a collected, integrated mind. Our thoughts have to be properly focused and determination. Yes, I will do this and stick to it. Like the professional attitude. Yes, I have to achieve this. Other things don't matter for now. I will put all my energies in attaining that. So the yogi collects all faculties of mind and then focuses. Then the power comes. Like you take a lens, that convex lens, and focus the rays of sun on a point. And you see, then you can burn that paper there. You can burn houses with such arrangement too, if you want. Don't try, but it is, one can get very high temperatures. How? By focusing that. So similarly, our mental energies, if they are focused, then tremendous energy comes in us. That energy will enable us to go towards goal. In the absence of that, if we do not have that resolve, then scattered mind, which is not capable of achieving anything. Today the mind feels, let me learn a little bit of music. Starts learning. Tomorrow thinks, what is the use of learning music? Let me learn some economics. Goes to learn some economics. Third day feels that let me do something else. Goes to do that. And thus the result is nothing is achieved in life because there is no concentration in anything. So Sri Krishna warns against this attitude. With this kind of scattered mind, let alone the ultimate goal of life, even the success in our day-to-day ordinary life is a far cry. It is, we want to do many things. And so, do end up doing not a single thing properly. Because some mind is put there, a little bit mind is put there. Before that is done, that work is done, we again withdraw it from there and put somewhere else. It is a, we have to examine our lives, friends, that how much harm we have come to because of this attitude. Tremendous capacity is in us, but because we are not focusing it, it is not becoming of much use to us. It is there, but it is not useful. In Upanishads, therefore, it is told that you have to have this attitude. It is in you, but with determination, you have to just work it out. It is, don't slacken in your determination about it. We make a resolve that yes, I will do such and such thing every day. I will do my meditations every day. But after 3 days, 4 days, we forget our resolve and do something else. Find the excuses for that too. It is, human beings have this problem that we use our intelligence for our downfall. That instead of understanding that I didn't do the things right and let me do right, I will find an excuse that weather was not good today, I had a bit of a headache today. As if because of headache you didn't do other things. You did everything else, but except what you should have done. It is, this is a commonly seen tendency in us. And therefore, Sri Krishna warns that with this attitude, yoga will be impossible. Bahushakha yanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Those who are avyavasayi, means those who do not assume this determined, professional, business-like attitude about realizing this goal, what happens? Their mind is scattered. In how many ways? Bahushakha, in many branches. And then each of those branches again gets divided into many other branches. So, what is the limit? Anantascha, infinitely scattered mind. It is this mind, scattered mind, how many ways it can get scattered? Infinite. But, yes, one pointed attention you can pay and then you realize the goal. Swami Vivekananda therefore says that the difference between human beings is depends on their capacity to concentrate. In other way of therefore defining yoga is, yoga is concentration. Patanjali defines that concentration in a bit a negative definition. Negative means not bad, it is good definition, but it's because sometimes here the word negative means as if it has a negative connotation. No, it is, it only tells it in this fashion, that yoga is controlling the scattering of mind. The mind gets scattered, otherwise yoga chitta vritti nirodha. The mind is thrown into infinitely many modifications, and yoga is to integrate them, make that one pointed. It is with that then we can achieve success in life. So Sri Krishna tells this, that eka vyavasayikatmika vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeh kurunandana. Kurunandana is another name of Arjuna, being a son in the clan of Kurus. So Arjuna, it is one pointed, is this business like attitude, professional attitude, an attitude of determination, and an undetermined attitude, and doesn't take you anywhere, it gets scattered in infinitely many ways. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that you have to have resolve in your devotions. In whatever one wants to achieve, there has to be that resolve. I will do this. Otherwise, a little bit of some obstacle and it goes away. He gives the example of two farmers. Very good example, two farmers. Both farmers saw that their farm, because of lack of rain, is getting dried up and all the crop is likely to be ruined. But there was one hope, that there was a stream of water flowing nearby their field. What they needed to do was to cut a kind of canal between their field and the that water stream. So both farmers decided that they needed to do that, and both started working. This farmer started working in the morning and started till the sun came up, noon time. He kept on working hard. Then his wife sent the messages, "Oh, now enough for you. You must be tired. Now come and have lunch. Maybe after lunch you may go again, but you have to take lunch now." He said, "No, I don't have time. I have to complete the work. And don't you see that all the crops are getting all burnt in the sun? I have to get water for them." The wife sends another message, "Please come, what is there? One should take care of the food. Please look at, the children, they also are not eating. If you are not eating, how can I eat? So for me at least you must come. You should come, otherwise I will also have to go without food." This man refused to go. "No, I will not come. I have decided that unless I get water in my field today, I am not going to stop my work." And he went on working till evening. Ultimately, the canal was cut, the water started flowing in. He saw that the water is filling the field, and then went to home and told, "Now bring all that foodstuff and other things. Now I can take rest." And other farmer also had the same problem. He also started in the morning. But after about 9-10, he thought, "Okay, let me sit for a little while, have some tobacco, some smoke, and then spend 15-20 minutes like that. Then work for a little while again." Then when wife said that, "Well, time for lunch, you should come and take lunch," then this man said, "Okay, but I need to complete the work, don't you think that, dear?" Wife said, "Oh, that can take, you can, after lunch you can begin again, is it not? Why?" "Okay, honey, if you are saying like that, why?" So he dropped the job, went to home, had a nice lunch, and after lunch felt heavy, and so took a nap. So it is, and at night he thought, how can he work at night? It is not good to work at night. So now such an attitude is never going to bring that desired result. Because same thing tomorrow also is not going to do anything better. Same thing is going to happen tomorrow. Like that board in that mall, I saw a very nice board. "Free snacks." And underneath was written "tomorrow." So it is. So it is what you couldn't do today when everything was congenial already. Tomorrow maybe half the crops are already gone now. So it is the attitude of determination, therefore, is most important for this spiritual practice. Sri Krishna will tell about this again and again in other chapters. But here, right in the beginning, before he starts describing the yoga, he tells that all our faculties need to be integrated and focused on this goal. All energies that we have are to be put into this service, so that we will achieve the goal. Like if you have a big war to be won, then you have your army and navy and air force and your intelligence services and your political leadership all have to act in perfect harmony. You have to, all these forces, they have to join hands, they have to be integrated, then only you have the chance of winning the war. If the political leadership is not very strong, if the navy is going in one direction, there is no support for the troops from the air force, all and intelligence services all plagued, then who can win the war with all such things? So in our life also, all our faculties need to be focused. And the earlier we do, the better it is. The moment we realize that we need to do that, let us start doing it. It is no use postponing it. The more one postpones, the more things are lost. It is so a strong decision has to be made and needs to be determinedly followed. The mind is a very funny thing. It will get distracted very easily. Distraction of mind occurs at a slightest excuse. Sri Ramakrishna used to therefore compare the mind to a packet of mustard seeds. Mustard seeds, you know, Chris, mustard seeds. So mustard seeds, the packet of mustard seeds, if they are scattered, open the pack and let them just fall on the ground. Now collecting them together is next to impossible. It is like that. The mind once scattered, to collect it is very difficult. So do not let the mind get scattered like that. If it is scattered, let us put all our energies in bringing these things together. And then as we start bringing them together, we will see that immense energy, immense power gets developed in us. We will be able to see that ourselves, that yes, the person who used to think that I am like that, I can't do anything, well, let the mind be collected, and let then that person will be able to see that lot of things can be achieved. But if we do not pay attention to that, if we do not collect the scattered forces, if we do not integrate them, then there is no success. We can be religious in a different sense. Different means in a social sense one can be religious, that the person may be going to church or temple or synagogue, wherever, on the appointed day, and does all those rituals, follows everything. But yet, if this spirit of yoga is the real religion, achieving the goal in life is the real religion. Otherwise, well, it is just our religion gets caught into just rituals. That today is this 11th day, so let me fast. Tomorrow is the 12th day, let me do this thing. And day after tomorrow is something else, let me do that. And such observances without an effort to collect the mind and focus it on the ideal, that is not going to help. The religion then becomes, you know, only, as Swamiji says, gets caught into kitchen pot, whether to eat this or not to eat this. Keep on discussing that all your life. And nothing is achieved by that. So, therefore, here it is mentioned that vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeh kurunandana, that it is the one-pointed resolve that is required for the success in yoga. If not, the mind will get scattered into many, many different branches. Infinite! Infinite! Because where will you stop? If it is not on your goal, then now it is infinite variety is open there. That is what we see in us, that today I feel like doing this, tomorrow I feel like doing that, day after tomorrow I feel like doing something else. And this is a very, very disturbing fact against yoga in our life. When many times we ask the question that why am I not progressing in my spiritual life, the answer is that lack of resolve. That lack of resolve is the reason. One may be practicing meditations, very good, but are they practiced with such unrelenting resolve? That has to be there. Just as when one wants to catch a flight for an urgent business, then, well, you have to get there on time. It is otherwise you are going to miss the flight. then there may be a phone ringing, but you don't go to pick it up because you want to pack everything. There may be some other things you have to clean and all that. Well, that can wait. Right now I have to pack my things and run. It is time. I must now be on my way. Therefore, that one-pointedness is there. Otherwise, I miss the flight. I don't want that. See how all the faculties get focused. I remember, that once I was in school those days, and staying with my parents at one place in India, and I got a telegram from my school that I have to come on this particular day, otherwise, my this thing will be cancelled. That was the last day or something. And I didn't know that beforehand. I was not ready. So I have to catch the train that was to leave in 1 hour. It takes at least about half an hour or more to get from my house to the train station. So I had only half an hour to pack things. Normally I would have required 2 days to pack my things and still might have forgotten a few things. But now I had only half an hour. I did not talk. All my attention was all focused on doing these things. And not a moment was wasted. Not a moment was wasted. I was running about packing things, doing those things exactly because the mind was focused. And instead of completing the work in 30 minutes, I completed in 20 minutes. Because it really doesn't require more than that. It is because of the scattered mind, when there is ample time to waste, then it can take any time and still will not be done properly. You think, I should take this book, I should put it in the bag, and then you saw the newspaper, what is happening to Hillary or Obama, you spend about 15 times there, lot of time you spend there, and then put it back there, then pick up something else. So the mind is then all scattered. Then you start thinking, should you really take that book there or not right now, or a different one, take out that book, put something. And like that, the packing is not done. In last 5 minutes again, you feel that probably you have not packed properly done, and you are going to get late. It is all, this is because of not properly focusing on things at hand. So yoga is basically that. And Sri Krishna in next 2 verses tells that there will be, the world is full of temptations. There will be so many pulls pulling you to scatter your mind. But don't pay attention to those things. They are very sweet to hear. The words of temptation are very sweet to hear, and therefore it is likely to pull you. And they come in the quoting of as if they are scriptures. So Sri Krishna tells, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadantya Vipaschitaha Vedavadarata partha nanyadastiti vadinah kamatmanah swargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. The dull-witted, whose minds are full of desires, who regard heaven as their highest goal, who are enamored of the panegyric statements in the Vedas and assert that there is nothing else higher than this, speak familiar flowery words about numerous kinds of rites prescribed by the Vedas, producing birth, actions and their results as the means to enjoyment and power. Those who are attached to enjoyments and power and whose minds are carried away by these flowery words do not attain one-pointed determination leading to the concentration on the Lord. It is to be remembered that there will be all such things being told all around that will keep on pulling our minds. Don't think that because you have determined that one fine morning you have thought that yes, I will think of God alone. Is the world immediately going to change for you? Or do you mean to say that because you have determined to follow spiritual life and not to give in to any temptations, all the candy shops should close down? Should all the beer bars be shut down? It is all the cinema houses are to be shut down or what? So they all will be there. There will be all different things in the world that are there to attract you. They will still be there. And yet, in the midst of them, we have to follow our path. And let us not blame that why God made those things. It is a common accusation on God. God is very good for that. A good that all blame can be easily put on Him. Because God did it like that, what can I do? But what is the use even if you are able to shift the blame? Does it help you? That is the question. Suppose God accepts all blame. Does it help us? It doesn't help us at all. So, let us understand that the world is not going to change. It will be as full of temptations as it used to be. In fact, because you have decided not to yield to the temptations you may feel that the temptations are inviting you with greater propensity. It is sometimes that kind of question is put that I try to lead spiritual life. Earlier I was not being disturbed so much by these temptations. But why now they are disturbing more? They are not disturbing more, but earlier because you were not going away from them, you didn't feel their force. Their force is felt only when you try to get away from them. Like when you try to swim against the current, then you know how strong the current is. So, one has to be aware of these things. So, just as one has to put in full efforts, one has also to beware of the pitfalls. A proper guide to a journey, a long, tedious journey, tells you how to go and also tells what dangers may be lurking on the way, so that not to discourage us, but to make us beware. Let us not be foolhardy. Let us take proper precautions in the journey. So these things are very important. We shall continue to discuss these as the coming Fridays by the grace of God. If you have any questions, you can ask. Yes, Elizabeth? That's a good question. Good. Because Sri Krishna has told that no effort is wasted. So, if my mind goes to the goal today, but does not go there for 3 days and comes back again on the fourth day, then will the effort I had put on one day, will that get wasted? no, it will not get wasted. But think of this thing, that if it goes on getting scattered like this, when will you achieve the goal? Only one day doing, only maybe you have made an inch progress. So it is like that, it will, when will it happen? And sometime you may think that let me walk in the opposite direction, then that will also take the what you have already come, that will be taken away by that action, you know. If that is a nice story, I had told it several times here, that one has to have that strong efforts. One day a little bit Tai Chi I did, then after for 3 days I remembered again, and then did a little bit. So yes, it is better than not remembering at all, but how much one will achieve by that process? It is very little. One minister told his king, that is a long story, I am not going to tell you the whole thing, there is not time, although very interesting, but it is, he was minister in the court of Akbar and wanted to teach the lesson to the king about the feeble things, how the feeble efforts. So the time for assembly in the court came, and he sent the message to the king that I am preparing that khichdi, some kind of that preparation, and after, as soon as it is cooked, I will come. You cannot leave things on fire halfway, you know, so therefore let me finish the job and come. So king said okay, he may be coming in half an hour max. The court continued, 1 hour elapsed, the fellow still didn't arrive. What happened? He sent an emissary. The emissary said that he sent the message that as soon as the khichdi is done, he is right, going to be right there. 1 hour more elapsed. Now the king got annoyed and decided to see what kind of cooking this fellow is doing, and let me take him to task for this kind of behavior. So he went there and saw that wonderful process of cooking. About 3 big tall bamboos were dug in the ground, and on the top of that 3 bamboos a pot was kept for those ingredients to be cooked. And underneath, he was putting just one stick of hay, one blade of hay, on a tiny, tiny fire, that well, one after another. And thought that after a while, that will get cooked. So if our efforts are just like that, that it is not going to be of practically much use. So the king said that how is your that thing going to get cooked, when it is impossible to get cooked? Practically speaking, it is never going to get cooked. So it is like that. The efforts have to be energetic, strong. Let us try to make that. So let us, if there is another question, or I will conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namaniyani कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।